in today's show. We're talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, their 2022-2023 season, the change in head coach, what happens in the future. Michael Bolton.
Thanks, Josh. It's Michael Bolton here, and it's time for another episode of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at @RedRock_Beeball, on TikTok at @RedRock_Beeball, and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA. When you enter the promo code LockedOnNBA, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. Thank you for making Locked On Fantasy Basketball your first listen every day. We are free and we are available on all platforms. We're going to talk Philadelphia 76ers in today's show. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Rhett Bauer. You know him from the Punt Intended Dynasty podcast. We're going to talk some Dynasty rookie stuff tomorrow. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy that show. And yeah, let's do it. Let's talk Philadelphia 76ers. Warning.
Let's get it on, Gilly.
All right. The Sixers. They finished last season 54-28, fifth best net rating in the NBA, plus 4.3, third best offense, 10th best defense. All in all, it was a pretty strong season. I thought they had a genuine case of being a team that could make the NBA finals. Of course, they didn't. Knocked out in game 7 after having a 3-2 lead over the Celtics in round 2. A lot of the playoff foibles and playoff injuries and playoff inconsistencies of their main players coming to the fore once again. And the playoff foibles of their now former coach, Doc Rivers. He's no longer there. Let's look at their best lineup before we get into some more stuff. It was Maxi, Melton, Harris, Tucker, Embiid, which might be the lineup next season, depending on what happens with Jim Harden, because I don't know whether Harden's going to be back. There's been so many whispers about him joining Houston, which I don't know why the Rockets would do that. I know Harden's really, really a great player, an all-time great player, whatever you want to list all-time great as. I'm not saying he's top 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever, but he is. He's an MVP. Like, he's a guy that's been a great player for a long time. But what's the point of that in Houston? Where does that take you to? Is he great? Can he still be good? Yeah. But is his body breaking down a little bit? Yes, that's also true. But his situation for next season is going to impact a lot. It's going to impact the Sixers. It's going to impact the Rockets if he goes there. It's going to impact players on the Sixers for fantasy, and it's going to massively impact players on the Rockets for fantasy. So the Harden decision is probably one of the biggest things that we have to watch for in the NBA offseason, because that's when I talk and people will be like, we want to do rankings now at this point of the season, and I never do, because there's going to be a quarter of the league change teams. But in one move, Harden changes. That probably impacts 8 guys' rankings by maybe 5 to 15 spots at least, I would think, if not more. And then that is a cascade effect onto so many other guys. But what I do want to talk about with the Sixers here first is the hiring of Nick Nurse. And when Nick Nurse was hired by the Sixers, and numerous people messaged me, man, you need to talk about Nick Nurse. Man, this is going to kill. Some people said, man, this is going to be great for the Sixers fantasy value. Some people said it's going to kill the Sixers fantasy value. And when you have opposite ends of the spectrum there, the reality probably lies somewhere in the middle. I think what we all really do need to pay attention to here, Nick Nurse is a guy that can be cantankerous. He can rub his players the wrong way, and I think we saw a lot of that in Toronto over the last year or two. He's also a brilliant coach and can have really great success. But the thing that everyone playing fantasy will want to know or will assume is, well, that means that A, Embiid's going to play 38 minutes a night, his knees are going to implode, and it's going to kill that value. He's just going to play every 1 minute. And I would say maybe not. And I'll tell you why I would say maybe not. Yes, Nick Nurse's rotations were legitimately insane over the last 2 seasons. But they weren't always like that. How much of it was Nick Nurse losing his mind and deciding every player plays 39 minutes a game? Or was there a factor that the bench consisted of 5 centers none of them very good. And Masai Ujiri did a bad job of putting together the bench rotation. And Nick Nurse just said, sorry, Masai, I'm just not playing shit players. And I don't know what you expect me to do with five centers on the bench. How am I going to play Koloko, Young, Achua, Boucher all together? I can't do it. So it's not like Nurse in every situation has played every starter 39 minutes with a seven-man rotation. That has not been the case. I am not here to tell you that the Sixers are going to go and play everyone 32 minutes a night. I don't know that. Nurse will probably lean on the heavier side, but the expectation that they will do the same thing with the rotation that he did in Toronto, albeit Toronto just the last two seasons, I don't think is founded in 100% reality. There are numerous factors there. It might be Nurse, the cause of the big minutes. It might be Ujiri. It might be, sorry, the Masai apologist. Maybe it's Bobby Webster that put together that roster. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. So a lot of people will be like, man, that's going to kill De'Anthony Melton now because the bench will play 5 minutes a night. Well, that's just not exactly true. It's all dependent. And I think Nick Nurse is smart enough as a coach. He doesn't have a rigid system where he goes, every player plays 37 minutes and the bench guys play 10. It's like, who are the good guys? Who are the guys that I can fit in and make sense? And let's adjust that way. The other thing that someone said, well, it's going to kill value because who's going to be the guy in Philadelphia that becomes Philadelphia's Chris Boucher, a good player that Nurse just buries and refuses to give minutes to? And I would argue, and I think you know what I'm going to argue, that Chris Boucher is not that good. And the way that Nurse was using him was 100% in line with his actual real-life value. And that we need to really, really be careful when we're thinking about players that, like, man, look at these per 36 numbers. Look how awesome they are. He should play more. When that's just not exactly true. It's not true at all. So there are going to be people who complain about certain things on this team. Maybe it's Melton. Maybe it's Paul Reed. Who knows? This team could make itself over in numerous different ways heading into the offseason. But I think the widespread panic about Nick Nurse, or, as I've seen in some other spots, the widespread praise of Nick Nurse because all my starters are going to play tons of minutes, or my bench is never going to play and people are going to get screwed over unlawfully the way Chris Boucher did, I think it's in vain. I don't think there's any need for it because I just don't think that it's really going to be as much of a problem or as much of a boon as maybe some people think. But I'm very happy to hear what you think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think that Nurse is just going to play Maxi 40 minutes and look, Maxi's in line for a huge boost. We know this. We'll talk about it later. But I don't think that it's an absolute fait accompli that we're going to have just a seven-man rotation, 40 minutes a night for everybody, and everyone getting stiffed over. I don't think that is a fair way to look at the way Nick Nurse coached in Toronto. Today's episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure that every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part that you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know that the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Broncos country, let's ride.
eBay guaranteed fit only available to US customers. Eligible items only and exclusions apply. Okay, let's look at the free agency outlook for this team. Because it is, as I've already mentioned, very, very dependent on old mate Jim Harden. Because he has a player option after signing that deal, which appeared that it was some sort of friendly deal for the Sixers to be able to afford someone like a PJ Tucker, and maybe that's all true, but Harden loves Houston. He loves the city. He loves the community. Maybe he loves the, as I have said in previous shows, areola-based entertainment venues. That's fine. If that's what he likes, that's what he likes. And at age 33, 34, maybe it's time for, maybe he wants to move home. That's possible. The problem here with the Sixers team, who is projected $28 million over the cap, is if he leaves, you can't really replace him unless it's a sign and trade, and I don't know who the Rockets are giving you back in that sort of a deal. So that would be a big loss. But it's not just him. There's Montrezl Harrell with a player option, which I 100% guarantee is picking up because he is no good, and that is a failure from Daryl Morey to, A, give him that contract, sign him to begin with, play him, and then Doc Rivers to play him, and then give him a player option. He'll be back, taking up space. But they've got George Niang, a non-restricted free agent, a key rotation player. Shake Milton, who if Harden would leave, would step into a larger role. He's an unrestricted free agent. Jalen McDaniels, who they just traded for, he is also an unrestricted free agent. So there are numerous guys here who are part of the rotation, and restricted free agent Paul Reed, who emerged as the backup center and played pretty well. There are so many ways that this team can go. I think that probably Shake, Jalen, I think most of these guys will be back apart from Harden, but Niang, Milton, McDaniels, Reed, they might go other places. The Sixers do have bird rights on Milton, McDaniels, and Niang. I don't think they do, actually. Let's have a look. They got early bird rights on Niang. So maybe he gets a deal somewhere else, but he is 30 years of age. Like the last team we did on the season review, the Knicks, the Sixers do not have any draft picks whatsoever, which is not great. Not great. Let's talk about players. Joel Embiid was great this season. There is absolutely no debating that. He won the MVP. I was going to say rightfully so, which is true, but I would have given it to Nikola Jokic. I did, in my fake ballot, give it to Nikola Jokic. But as I said at the time, I've actually got no problem if you wanted to say that Embiid was the MVP. Now, of course, when we look at the playoffs and how far those teams have gone, it seems a little silly. And I thought it was very clear to me that Jokic was the MVP, but I don't really care that Embiid won it. And from a fantasy point of view, he was great. Second overall in category leagues, second in points, second in totals. His ADP was fourth. We had some worries about injuries and all that sort of stuff, but he played 66 games, which is about league average. He played 35 minutes with 36 usage. He averaged 33 and 10, over 4 assists, 1.7 blocks, shot 55, 33 and 86. Excellent numbers. Second overall in Darko, plus 5.6. 99th percentile on EPM, estimated wins on LeBron. Just a ridiculously good season. He's 29. You've probably got, I'd say, two more years at this absolute peak level for Embiid. Not to say that he's going to be trash or anything after that 2 years, but when you're looking from a dynasty perspective, I'd say you've got two more years at this level from Embiid. And it might even go up next season if Harden does leave, because that's that's a lot of usage. It does go away. And yes, Maxey will take on some of it, but Maxey's usage doesn't just take Harden's and add on top of it. It's got to spread around. So Embiid, it is hard to go off from 36 usage. It might be 37, 38. The thing that might drop, though, is his efficiency. And that'd be something to watch, which would take him from 2 down to 4 or 5 in the rankings, perhaps. But if you take someone at 2, they end up at 5, it's still a W. It's not a loss at all. It's not a bad pick. So Embiid's going to be pretty solid up the top of those lists. If you look at his fantasy points graph, you'll see that one early on where he had over 100 fantasy points. Yeah, he was putting up huge numbers for the majority of the season. And I think some of the injury stuff for him is a little overblown. We know how much time he missed early in his career, but people think that he sits every back-to-back and he's always hurt, and that's just not true. He misses some time, sure, but like most players do. But he has been playing a decent chunk of games. Not enough that I think it should worry us from fantasy. His EPM graph doesn't tell us huge amounts. Like, he was just really good. Well, we know Joel Embiid is really good. That's not a surprise, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Let's talk about Jimmy Harden, who I thought had a chance to be the third best player this season. I had Luka at 1, Giannis at 2, and then I had a group of guys, Embiid, Durant, Harden, and Doncic in the 3-6 range. I said I don't have a problem with Harden going at 3, I don't have a problem with him going at 6. They're all relatively interchangeable in that area. Now, he didn't quite live up to what I thought he would be, but he ended up 11th, which, again, is still a first-round player. He did battle some injuries, and I didn't expect that to have been that much of an issue for him. And he dropped his efficiency off again, which is a little bit of a concern. 34, which is now we're starting to get into the situation where I'm not sure that he can be a first-round guy long-term. 37 minutes, 25 usage. Now, the thing is, if he goes to Houston, he'll probably play 36 minutes, but that 25 usage will probably go to 30, and then the 21 points will go to 27 points, and then you're back in business as a first-round guy, maybe for a year. Because at some point, the age is going to really catch up, if it hasn't already, and efficiency will drop further, and playing time will drop further, and games played might drop further. So while I think there is a chance that 11th rank this season goes to 6th next season, it's going to all depend on where he goes. I wouldn't think that it maintains, because usage, minutes, efficiency will all drop off as he gets older. He was still pretty strong in all metrics as well. I thought it was pretty silly that he missed out on the All-Star game. 15th in Darko, plus 3.6. His EPM was 96th percentile. You can see that it's dropped off from where he was in his peak. That's what happens when you get older. But he was still really, really good. And he was worthy, I think, of a first-round pick. If he stays in Philly, I don't think I would pick him in the first round. If he goes to Houston, I think I probably would. But we don't know. You saw early in the year he had that foot problem, which caused him to miss a chunk of time. Towards the end of the year, he had some foot and Achilles soreness, and that's where I start to get a little bit worried. Is this the hamstring over multiple seasons, and now the foot and the Achilles, and just the lower body starting to take its toll, which at age 34 does become a little bit hard to fully recover from. But he's still a big impact guy. He's still a strong option. He's still a very good fantasy player. He still could see a really huge boost in his production next season if the situation is right. Let's go to the next guy.
I think I am a TH.
T to the H.
Yeah, TH for life.
The thick Hogsman, Tobias Harris. Now, I was pretty down on Tobias Harris heading into the season. I had him around 95 to 100. I guess in a points league that worked out because he was 103rd. But he ended up 78th in category league, 60th in totals. He definitely exceeded my expectations. There were a few reasons for that. Number one of those was injuries early on to Harden and Maxey, which boosted his numbers. And then towards the end of the season, when those players returned, we saw Harris fall into the role that I thought would happen, where he'd be a low usage player who doesn't really provide anything with defensive stats. Now, what he was able to do also early on was provide much bigger defensive stats than normal. But you'll see that his season total is at 0.9 steals, not a good number. Which means that over the second half of the season, he just regressed back to being a bad steals player. He had a hot like 30-40 game streak, which tied in with a bump in usage because of players being out, and it really did float his numbers. So I would be very, very interested to see where Harris comes in on preseason rank boards, because I think I'm almost 100% sure I'm going to go, I'm going to be way out on him again in comparison to where they have him, because they'll probably put him in the 70s once again. They'll say, well, ADP 71, he finished 78th. All right, we'll put him in the 70s again. And I just don't think that's going to be accurate. He's 31. He played 33 minutes a night, but only 18 usage. His Darko stuff is okay. 80th in the NBA. 80th percentile EPM. There's some okay numbers there. Nothing particularly exciting, nothing particularly sexy, but that is Tobias Harris. He averaged 15 and 6, 0.9 steals, 1.7 threes, 39% from three. Solid percentages. Like they're just okay numbers. There's nothing good. There's nothing great. It's all average. Or below average in most cases. Like below average threes, points, assists, steals, blocks. But above average free throws, above average field goals, and above average rebounds. But only marginally. And that's why he's just such an uninspiring player. But again, the thing comes, if Harden leaves and how they replace him, he moves from potentially the fourth option and going back to being a 21 usage player, which pushes him from 15 points to 17 points and gives him that little bit of a boost. And part of the reason that I was down on him was a full season of Harden, Maxey, and Embiid all together pushing Harris down. But if one of those is out of the equation, then Harris can jump back up. But as we're going to talk, age is 31. So there is going to be some drop-off. He will still, I think, continue to be solid enough without being spectacular, really in the slightest, because that's just who he is. His EPM graph, yeah, it's just the same sort of stuff. He floats around, he does bits and pieces at times, he does nothing at other times, and so much of what he does is dependent on the absence or presence of other players. Today's episode is also brought to you by Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs, I'm wearing them now. I don't think I've taken them off almost a single day. I've just been one pair in, one pair out, wash, wash, repeat, get them out, because I love wearing my Bird Dogs. It is the comfortable shorts and pants that you're never going to want to take off. You're going to wear them wherever you need to go, to the shops, to the bar, to the restaurant, to your friend's place, out in the backyard. You're always going to want to have your Bird Dogs on. You don't need to worry about your old stiff cotton shorts or pants. These are super comfortable. And this ad says, show yourself wearing Bird Dogs on camera. Do you want to see me? I am actually wearing them. All right. I know that you guys on audio won't see this. Look at this. Look at these sexy Bird Dogs. And they've got the little lycra underneath. There you go. Free leg video that you guys can save and do whatever you want with. They also give you this free Yeti style tumbler. If you go to birddogs.com/lockedonnba, enter the promo code lockedonnba, you get that free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedonnba for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, I promise. It's true. I wear them literally every single day, and I need more than two pairs. So Bird Dogs, send me more because they're great. I love them. Actually, I'll just buy some. Bird Dogs, get yourself the dogs, get yourself the birds, get yourself the tumblers, and enjoy yourself in those shorts. That was off the rails. All right. Let's look at Tangles. Tyrese Maxey, who was insanely overdrafted. I was very, very much out on drafting him at this point. ADP 56. There were people saying some of the stupidest shit that I have ever heard about Tyrese Maxey. He's going to be an all-star. Okay. Someone told me that he was on track to be an all-star before he got hurt at the start of the season. Someone told me that he was going to establish himself as the clear number two option ahead of James Harden. Okay. He'll be a top 20 fantasy player. Okay. He finished 88th, 86th in points leagues, 113th in totals, an ADP of 56. He's 22 and a half years of age. Because my thing always with Maxey was, what else are you doing? What else can you do? He had a really strong stretch last season when Simmons was out and Harden wasn't there. And then when Harden came across, it did drop off a little bit. And this year, he actually got benched. And he played off the bench. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case for him moving forward. And this sounds like I'm really negative on Tyrese Maxey, and I'm not. I really like Tyrese Maxey. I think he's going to be a really good player. But remember, before the start of the 21-22 season, Doc Rivers was going to start Shake Milton ahead of him. I know it's Doc Rivers, but he was going to start Shake Milton ahead of him. Now, thankfully, Doc made the right decision and started Tyrese. I think Milton got hurt, and that helped. But I'm definitely not anti-Maxey. But what I am anti at the moment is a very limited skill set. He ended up playing 34 minutes a night, so it's not like the benching impacted his minutes hugely. He had 24 usage, and again, all of this stuff is really, really dependent on Harden. Because if Harden goes, he will play 36 minutes. He could play 38 under Nurse. That's possible, because he's that much better than everyone else in terms of the guards. He might have 29 usage. He might average 26 points. And I think it's distinctly possible, but if he doesn't, 3 rebounds a game doesn't cut it. 3.5 assists a game does not cut it. 0.8 steals does not cut it. 0.1 blocks does not cut it. He's had 2 seasons in a row of being elite from 3 after being putrid from 3 at Kentucky and as a rookie, but he somehow turned into a good shooter. I've seen it for 2 years now. I'm ready to buy in that he's an elite shooter. Hard to do it after 30 games or 50 games or 70 games. After 150, I'm okay with saying he's an elite shooter. But we need more. He could average 27 a game and still be the 50th best player because rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Now, I don't think steals are going to change much, or blocks or rebounds even. But if Harden does go, usage and assists can spike. His Darko had him ranked 87th in the NBA. He's on a strong upward trajectory. I think he's a really good player. I don't think he's ever going to be the level that Harden was, even this season. Definitely not in his peak. I don't know how he's being valued in dynasty formats, but I do know that once the season starts up, or once we hear that Harden is gone, that any potential buy low window will have evaporated. So if you're going to do it, you've got to do it now. There is a huge chance of a 4 to 5 point per game boost. There's a huge chance of a 3 to 4 assist per game boost. That is distinctly possible, which takes him from 80 to 30 or 40 pretty easily. Rebound, steals, blocks probably won't change. Efficiency might drop, but I do think heading into year 4, we're going to see some big, big steps forward from Tyrese Maxey. Just don't think that he's Harden, though. You saw he had that big stretch in the middle with that injury, which cost him a bunch of time, but ended up playing through towards the end and was good. Again, he was really strong. 86th overall in points leagues as well, but just nowhere near as high or as good as some of the expectations might have been. His EPM graph struggled a little bit early, but once he re-entered the starting lineup at the start of the season, his impact did go up, and he did really play well in that area. And I don't think there's going to be any situation where he moves back to the bench as a full-time bench player. Let's talk about one of the most divisive, I don't know if that's right, but interesting fantasy players, and that's the wave pool, D'Anthony Melton. I really like D'Anthony Melton. You're well aware of this. I liked D'Anthony Melton when he was with Houston, when he was drafted by Houston, when he went to Phoenix, when he went to Memphis, when he went to Philadelphia. But I'm also, I try to be realistic with him. When he was traded to Memphis at the draft, to Philadelphia at the draft, people said, man, that's great. We're going to draft him top 70. And my thing was always, I just don't know that he's going to get enough touches or enough minutes on that team. And I would say that ended up being sort of right. I really like D'Anthony Melton as a player. Again, I think he's very, very good. And I think there have been times, especially in Memphis, where they just didn't play him enough. He finished 111th this season, 73rd in totals, 144th in points league, so he's clearly a better category league guy than a points league player. He played 28 minutes a night, in large part boosted due to the absences of Harden and Maxey early on, and then started down the stretch. But we saw it with Rivers that when he moved to the bench, he was getting like 23 a night, 24 a night. Often it would require someone to be out, whether it was Harris or Tucker or Embiid or Harden, and they would play Melton more minutes. He shot 39% from three. His value comes from great threes, really good steals. And if you look at those numbers, like 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2.6 assists, there's nothing good about that. They're all not good numbers. But he hit two threes, he had 1.6 steals, and he shot 39% from three. He is 129th in Darko, 80th percentile EPM. He's a positive player. LeBron doesn't think so, though. 30th percentile compared to starters. He is really good. But some of the fetishization, which is probably the wrong word here, about Melton and his fantasy value, I think does him a disservice. There is a chance that he is a full-time, 30-minute-a-night starter playing 34 a night because Harden has gone next season. And I would 100% draft him within the top 100 in that situation. No doubt whatsoever. But so much of his value is tied to steals. That is not everything, but it's pretty close to everything of what he does is tied to steals. He'll occasionally flash some assists, and again, with Harden gone, or if Harden goes, it is going to change a lot of different things with how the assists get distributed through the team. But Melton is never going to be a high usage player and taking on this big chunk of Harden shots. He's going to be a guy that can hit some threes, who can get some assists, who gets some steals, who can occasionally block a shot. But when we look at his numbers again, he had one strong positive category and another marginal positive category in threes. That is it. And it's not like he was far off starters minutes. He played 28 minutes. So, yes, there's plenty of room to improve, and he's only 25, and I think he's in line for a pretty big role. But just be really cautious about overvaluing D'Anthony Melton. He's not as good of a points league player because when the vast majority of your value, like for example, his steals were 1.6 on Z-score. His next highest category was threes, which is 0.3. That's five times less valuable. And that's it. So when you're tied into one category, which in a fantasy points setting is nowhere near as strong versus a category league, that's why your fantasy points numbers are down. He suffered a big dip in EPM towards the end of the season, but I think overall he's just a really strong player. He's never going to fully break out, I don't think, despite me liking him. But there is a chance of a 30-plus minute a roll season coming up for him, and that might, maybe that lasts 2 to 3 years. But my test will always be, are you set if D'Anthony Melton is your starter? And I think most teams would say probably not. And that always makes his value tenuous. Let's go to Jalen McDaniels, who was putting together some pretty good numbers in Charlotte with injuries there to Haywood and Rozier early on in the season. And then moved to Philadelphia and things dropped away. 175th overall. He played 24 minutes a night, 9 points, 4 rebounds, a steal. Shot 33% from 3. 57th percentile EPM, 221st in Darko. Like, I think he's a strong rotation player. I think that Doc Rivers didn't probably play him enough. I would have liked to see more Jalen McDaniels. How Nurse utilizes him will be very interesting. I think that there is value in him as a player, and I think they should be re-signing him. But as a fantasy guy, it needs a lot to go right, and he had sort of the opportunity to do that in Charlotte, but he doesn't have that opportunity in Philadelphia. He is 25. Maybe he wants to go to another team to expand what he can do. And he should have some decent offers considering the size and position that he plays. But overall, he needs quite a few things to go right in order to put up big enough usage or good enough efficiency and good enough counting stats. He's never going to be an assist guy. He's not a big defensive stats player. So while I do like him, I'm not sure there's enough really there for him to get excited about when we talk about future projection. You can see that the red line, the blue line, and the fantasy points graph, when he did go to Philadelphia, that it just starts to dip towards the end of the season because his minutes and his role decreased. Not a surprise. His EPM, though, increased at the end of the season. So he was being more impactful. Some of that is better team around him for sure. But I think he's just a strong rotation player who will be one of those guys for a few years. We go, oh, let's stream him in. Oh, let's drop him. Let's add him back in. Let's drop him, depending on how other players are looking on the team at the time. Shea Milton, who is one of those guys that can put up unbelievable numbers. We've seen it a few times. He comes in, he scores 30 points on 10 shots, and people lose their mind over him. But then they understand that passing and defense are all key parts of basketball and doesn't really succeed in those, and that the numbers come from Shake when multiple players are injured. He had a really strong stretch early in the season when both Maxey and Harden were out and he went crazy. And there were plenty of people suggesting that he's going to maintain his starting role, he's going to play over Melton, they'll DMP Melton, and Milton, Shake will get all these minutes, and he's just not that guy. 260th in categories, he's almost 27. He played 21 minutes, he averaged 8 points and 38% shooting from 3, 3 assists, no defensive stats, solid enough percentages. He's a solid player, but he's buried. Now, we go back again, the Harden's decision. If Harden goes and Milton returns, he's the sixth man. He probably plays 25 a night, and he has a few games where he scores 18 points. But it's not going to be enough in the other areas or enough consistency for me to get interested in him. Now, an injury opens things up a ton. And maybe Nick Nurse looks at him and goes, well, he is actually a good starter next to Maxey, and we keep Melton, D'Anthony, as our sixth man. That's all possible. Or maybe they do something in free agency that brings in somebody else. Josh Christopher comes across, and maybe he establishes himself in a sign and trade with Houston. I don't know. But Milton's a guy that I think we've seen what he is in the NBA. I don't really think there's anything hidden that needs to be uncovered in his game. And he has moments of filling in. Look at that fantasy points graph, that huge spike when Maxey and Harden were out, and then just fall back to a nothing role. Actually was DMP'd at one point in the season there as well. And it's just the lack of passing, sometimes poor shot selection, lack of defense, which always seems to do him in. Not a lot, I don't think, to take out of that EPM graph there either. Let's go to B-ball Paul Reed, who came into the NBA from DePaul with one of the best fantasy translations we'd really seen. But the skepticism was, does he get on the court? Because everything he did in college was unbelievable. And now we have seen in the NBA that when he gets on the court, it's similarly unbelievable. He puts up great numbers. He played 11 minutes a night, yet still finished 261st in category leagues. And 261st might seem not seem like much, but 11 minutes a night. He averaged 4-4 in 11 minutes. He averaged 0.7 steals in 11 minutes. Let's easily just transpose that to 33 minutes. 12-12 with 2.1 steals and 2.1 blocks. That's why he's so good in fantasy. He also shot 59% from the field and 75% from the line. So a marginal free throw negative, but a huge field goal positive. He was 75th overall in Darko. He just makes things happen. He can be a little bit undersized, or he is a little bit undersized. His shooting is not great, but it is very clear to me that he is the best backup option behind or ahead of Montrezl Harrell and Dewayne Dedmon. But we don't know what Nick Nurse will do there. I think that there'll be people who look at Nurse and go, well, this is the Boucher problem again, and why can't Reed just play over PJ Tucker? And I just think that combination of Reed and Embiid doesn't work particularly strong despite the buddy cop sounding nature of that pairing. I don't think that works particularly well. So I think Reed should be getting every minute, basically, that either Tucker's not at center or Embiid is not at starting center. And that's why, and that sort of happened, I guess, 11 minutes. It might not seem like much, but they ran PJ Tucker at center a lot as well, which meant that Paul Reed doesn't get to play much. Now, I don't think there's ever going to be a situation where Reed is anointed by a team as their starting center. We love it for fantasy. 27 minutes a night, he's a top 70 player, probably without too much hesitation. But I don't really think that there's any real likelihood that a team is going to want to go in that direction where Reed is that guy. Now, on a team where he could play 21 minutes a night, sure, that's great. That's still really fantasy valuable. He's 24. I would buy in on him in dynasty leagues as a later round sort of a player, because what we've seen from college has transferred over stat-wise, which doesn't always happen. Shout out Brandon Clark. Doesn't always happen. And Reed just needs 8 more minutes, 9 more minutes to become a 12-team viable player. I don't think it happens in Philadelphia, but PJ Tucker's 39 or 38. He's not going to be around forever. And while I don't think that Reed can play next to Joel, eliminating the 4 or 5 minutes that PJ Tucker might play at center helps Reed get those minutes. I think they should be bringing him back. He's a two-way, he's a restricted free agent. I think they're bringing him back. And I think that he is a useful player. But also, Daryl Morey went out of his way to bring in Montrezl Harrell and Dwayne Dedman last season to play over him. So don't be surprised if Cody Zeller ends up backing up Joel Embiid next season and we get frustrated again with Reed because of the size can be a problem. I don't know why they think that that is the sole problem, considering when he goes out there, he plays well most of the time, has his flaws for sure. But I think if we look at his numbers and just try to always extrapolate them and go, he just needs to start, I don't think that gives you the best success. You can see that the on and off nature of his minutes early in the season on that fantasy points graph, he got into a more regular role towards the end of the year, and his EPM is always strong, and he really picked it up towards the end of the season. And I think the games where he did start in place of Embiid were relatively positive. Let's go to the minivan, George Niang, who ranked 291st, 310th in points leagues. He's 30, as I mentioned earlier, 19 minutes a game, 17 usage, and he is one of the perfect examples of if you need to stream in threes, you can always find them. He averaged 2 a game on 40% shooting. Now, he didn't do anything else, 8-2-1 with half a steal and 0.2 blocks, but he hit a lot of threes, and he was reliable in doing that. Overall, his impact stuff is pretty bad, and LeBron hates him. Not LeBron James, LeBron the metric hates him. 5th percentile versus starters, but that shooting is viable, and when you needed threes, there was always an ability to stream in George Niang. I would think that they wouldn't... There is value in him on this team, but with the presence of Jalen McDaniels, maybe the urgency to bring him back in free agency isn't quite as high. He played a huge role for this team, but again, it is hard to know how Nick Nurse will treat him versus how Doc Rivers viewed what he was able to do. I am going to bring up PJ Tucker because he was a starter, so it's worth talking about. He was drafted in 4% of leagues at an ADP of 136. I have no idea why. He finished 326th. He averaged 3 points on 6% usage despite playing 26 minutes. He offered literally nothing. Even his impact metrics were low. 38th percentile in EPM, 349th in Darko. You can see the Darko how badly his impact has dropped off. So, and he's 38. So there is an argument to be made that the 26 minutes that PJ Tucker played, while he can be really strong and he's a great rebounder or a great box-out guy, a really good defensive guy, a good teammate, holds Embiid accountable, all that stuff is true. But maybe he could do that while playing 20 minutes a night. And that maybe gives you a little bit of hope for Jalen McDaniels to step up into a larger role because PJ Tucker is clearly not the answer at power forward. He's clearly not. And he's never going to have any fantasy impact ever again in his career. Not that he's even had it the last 2 years. But there is an argument that those 25.6 minutes per game will start to fall off. And I think it could come relatively quickly. The last guy I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to talk about Furky from Turkey. I'm not going to talk about Harrell or The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, or even Daniel House Jr. What I am going to talk about, for those of you in Dynasty Leagues, is the package. Jaden Springer. Yeah, because Springer is a guy that I was pretty high on in the draft and looked lost as a rookie. Looked absolutely lost. And when you look at his numbers here, you're not going to be excited. You're going to see that he was 456th in category leagues. He averaged 5 minutes a game. He averaged 2 points. He shot 49, 40, and 75. That's great. But there's a few things to pay attention to here. Darko has him 286th. Not great, but higher than PJ Tucker. There's 450-plus players in the NBA, so he's almost in the top half. LeBron, 21st percentile compared to starters. Not terrible. Estimated wins, 33 percentile. Not terrible. And the thing I want to look at here, the most important thing that's on the screen here, he's the same age as Brandon Miller. Well, sorry, he's like 2 months older than Brandon Miller. He's 20. He's the same. He's a 4 months older, 5 months older than Amen and Asar Thompson. He was young. And this is a great indication when talking about the draft. He came into the draft about the same age as Bilal Coulibaly or JJ Jackson, both 18-year-olds, and Cam Whitmore, 18-year-olds. I think actually he's younger than both Coulibaly and Whitmore. So by year three, he's the same age as guys that are going to get picked in the top five. This is not to say that he is a future star or anything like that. But it's also just to say, don't quite write him off just yet. There were a few little signs from Springer. In the G League, he only played 4 games, apparently. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, 1.3 steals, shot 47% from three. They are strong numbers. He's a hyper-athletic, 6'4" combo guard who I think can defend really well. Who's got great athleticism and is working on his... Actually, those numbers are bullshit. Now, I just realized that. If you go to Basketball Reference, look at G League numbers, the numbers don't show up. Go to the NBA page, the G League page. He played 24 games for the G League. 30 minutes a night, 19 points on 32% three-point shooting. Those G League numbers, bullshit. Basketball Reference numbers, not true. But he averaged 2.4 steals, 0.8 blocks, 3 assists, 5 rebounds. Plus minus 3.5. What was his usage in the G League? 24%. True shooting, 61. They're good numbers. And then he stepped up at the end of the regular season and played some minutes for the big club. He played one big game on the 7th of April. 19 points, 34 minutes, 3 assists, a steal and a block, 62%. Now that, of course, is everyone resting and players can do lots of stuff. Kenny Lofton scored 40. But I'm just saying that I had some high hopes of Springer coming in. He did some good stuff in the G League. He's still ridiculously young. And there is an ability for him to be, let's say peak for him, 4 years' time, 15, 4, 4, 1.6 steals, 0.5 blocks, 2 threes. It's a top 100 player. He is available. And I'm doing a dynasty mock at the moment. I don't know whether Spring has actually been drafted yet. Because if he hasn't, he's in my queue. I know that. He's just an interesting player that not necessarily he's ready to blow up or break out, but with Harden, maybe gone. With Milton, maybe gone. I think this is the time. This is the time for Springer to have a crack and to see where we can go from here. And that will lead us to go to the end of the show. Follow this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the Odyssey app and on YouTube. Thumb it up and leave your comments down below, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.